welcome to Inside Scoop Live. I'm your host, Juanita Watson, and joining me on today's program is angelic counselor, psychic, and medium, Carol Guy. Carol has authored three books, A Healthy Mind Leads to a Healthy Body, Coming Out of the Spiritual Closet, and now her just-published new children's book, Jamie and the Angel. Carol is also the host of her own radio program called Earth Angels Radio, and she has been gifted in her psychic sense since the age of 7. Being divinely guided, intuitively, she went about discovering herself by way of many spiritual experiences, receiving messages through angels, ascended masters, and other spirit guides. She has chosen to use her abilities for a higher purpose and for personal messages of the past, present, and future. As Carol illuminates the path to spiritual growth, she helps guide others to their personal power. She is gifted in clairvoyance, clairaudience, clairsentience, and claircognizance. Carol currently resides in Colorado, and for more information, her websites are carolguy.com and her book website, jamieandtheangel.com. So that said, fascinating, fascinating woman. Thank you so much for joining us today, Carol.
Hello, Juanita, and thank you for having me. That was beautiful.
Yeah, thank you so much. Oh, gosh. So I understand that one of your many missions is to really bring awareness to parents about the psychic gifts of their children. And so here you are with this new book, Jamie and the Angel. So I'd like to first start by finding out why working with children and really in this context is so important to you.
Well, what is important to me is because when I was growing up, I was not raised with any of this. And being able to see things and hear things and know things that other people couldn't was very difficult because I didn't know what was wrong with me. That was the biggest question, what's wrong with me? And there was times in my life that I felt cursed. And as I grew and I started learning this stuff later on in life, I realized that I wasn't cursed, that I was gifted, and that all children are gifted. Everyone is gifted in these gifts. It's just that between the age of 5 and 7, most children close this down. And so then it's really difficult because kids aren't taught this at all. And I wanted to bring this awareness out and help kids to realize that they are gifted because so many of them are very gifted now.
So what do you mean, really, when you use this word gifted? Is it synonymous with psychic?
It is. It is. You know, it took for a long time for me to even be able to use the word psychic. But what I came to realize that it's the language of the soul.
Mm.
And isn't that beautiful? I love that. Anyways, what I mean gifted is there is 4 different gifts that everyone can have. And it's clairvoyant, which most of us are familiar with the psychic sense of being able to see things. Then there's the claircognate, which is knowing things. The clairaudio, which is hearing things. And the clairsensitive, which is being able to feel things. And so when we tap into these and we sharpen our intuitive skills, these are our true gifts that we were born with. And we just are not taught about them and speak about them. But nowadays we are being more open about it.
It's so interesting that you talk about the intuition being the doorway in.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's fascinating. I haven't heard that before.
Yeah, I just think that's beautiful. Like I said, I was not raised with any of this.
Mm-hmm.
And so using the word psychic really kind of freaked me out for a long time.
I bet it did. Well, we live in the times where you can use that. But I'm sure, you know, when you were a child and you were, you know, struggling with what this gift was that you had, I mean, psychic mm-hmm. meant a very different thing.
Right, right. And I really never even thought about it. It's just, once I realized that this is what's going on with me, and the word psyche came in, it just kind of freaked me out. So I just felt that it was more important to really realize that these are God's given gifts. And that what better way and more beautiful way to help someone to feel more comfortable with them.
Do you remember some of your first experiences with those gifts when you were young?
Yes. Well, when I was a little girl, my sister and I had a very difficult time at the babysitter, and there was lots of things going on that wasn't so pleasant. And that's when I remember the first time that an angel had came to me, and she had told me to take my little sister home. I was 7 years old, take her home and take care of her myself, that I was old enough now, mm-hmm. and that I could use the key my mother gave me to take care of us. And so that was my very first experience that I truly, truly remember. And I got my little sister away from this, and her and I was able to go home and be safe again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so how many of these kind of experiences did you actually have before you began shutting that gift down?
I never did shut it down.
That was the thing.
Oh,
good for you.
I just became more, as I grew up into a teenager, I became more of a little bit of a rebel about it. I was trying to find ways to shut this down, you know, experiencing with drinking and drugs and stuff, not wanting to be able to hear this because I knew a lot of people around me couldn't.
So you were actually all four of the, what you were talking about, the clairvoyant.
We call them the four clairs, yes.
The four clairs. You were all of that at that age.
Yes, I always have been.
Oh, that's incredible.
But I had no understanding of it.
And your parents obviously didn't encourage this, so you weren't raised in an environment that encouraged it.
No, I was raised in more of a traditional family, you know, where we didn't speak about any of this.
I bet. So when did you really, truly, fully embrace it?
It was actually later on in my life. It actually was in 1993 is when I was married to a military man, and I had two children. We were living in Germany. And he came home one day, and he said, "We're moving to Colorado." And I had never been here, and I just looked at him and said, "Oh, please don't do this to me." I just had that deep-rooted knowing, the claircognizant, that if I came to Colorado, my life was about to change. And so, I was still a little bit of a rebel with this, fighting this, not wanting to do this work. So it was in my late 30s before I really embraced it.
But it was always there. When do you think most children begin shutting down their gifts?
Usually it's between the age of 5 and 7 that most children do.
And why do they?
Well, they don't fit in. They're in school now. And they're hearing things that they're told that, you know, imaginary friends aren't good to have. Things like this, and parents don't have an understanding. Didn't have an understanding about these either, because they were raised not believing.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's easier for children to try to shut it down. And what happens, too, is a lot of kids will start rebelling, will get in trouble, find ways to shut this down, not wanting to hear. You know, it's almost like a radio station. You turn the volume down and not wanting to hear or see it and not believe it and trust in it.
So do you think some rebellious children's behavior could actually be attributed to this?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Because
ADD,
when we get to the real core of what's really happening to children, what's really happening to people, that could be the main root of what's going on.
Isn't that interesting that we're all actually psychic, but we don't know it?
Absolutely. But everybody has had experiences. How many times have your listeners or maybe you have said, "Well, something told me," or, "Oh, I just had this feeling."
Mm-hmm.
And it's because you are psychic, you are picking it, or are you saying, "You know, I just have a feeling that this friend of mine or my mother is not doing well or something's wrong." You've got that feeling, and that's your clairsensitive. Or, you know, many people say, "Well, something told me," and I always say, "Well, what told you? Ask." Because I remember when I started discovering all this, a lady said to me, "Well, who's talking to you? Who's telling you?" And I'm like, "Well, I don't know." And she's like, "Well, ask."
Good point.
And so I started asking, and that's when my angels really started prevailing and bringing themselves to my awareness and really helping me to sharpen and tune my skills.
And you work with angels?
I do. I work with the archangels most of the time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you think we all have we can all have access to archangels, or do we all have our own guardian angel?
Both. We all have an angel that's with us from birth, that's guiding us. And most of the time, you know, I can see the angels around us. And most of the time, it's like the angels are standing beside us going, hello, let me in, I'm here, you know, and trying to get our attention. And there's been many people now that are speaking out about this that have had angelic encounters.
Mm-hmm.
And so the thing is, we all have at least one angel, maybe more, and we can work with the archangels. And one of the things is whatever it is you may need in your life, another angel may come in to help you with that situation.
So we're never alone.
Never, never. If you only knew. It's a full house. It's a full house everywhere you go.
So I'm sure you get asked this all the time. How do you know that you are communicating with a real angel, or that you're not just making it up?
Well, this is the hard part, because we have to really learn to trust. And as human beings, we come into this world, we trust, and then there's always something that breaks that. And so then we put our trust in another being, human being, who is actually going through their own life lessons, their own journey. And so we end up losing that trust. So it's very difficult for us to trust what our own selves of what we're hearing. So there's been many times that I used to tell my angels, I don't trust you. You know, you've been showing me and guiding me and showing me this. The thing is they are very, very patient. So they'll just give you more things to trust. One of the ways you can learn to trust is by asking for signs. Okay, if I'm hearing that Archangel Michael is with me, then give me a sign. And that sign could be that you could be in a grocery store walking around, not knowing anybody in the store, and all across the store, somebody might say, Michael, come here, you know, and it just kind of catches your ear. Or you might hear the name on TV or the radio, or somebody would be calling you and say, hey, do you know so-and-so Michael, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And they'll just continue giving you signs of the name or something that you are hearing.
So, and that's then fantastic.
Another great tool is to journal. Write down. If you write down, okay, I think I'm hearing the name Michael. So if I'm, I got this sign today that I heard it on television, or someone called me asking for Michael and it's the wrong number. You know, just writing these down. And then the more you journal and you keep asking for signs, that's your proof. Mm-hmm. Not about someone, you know, getting a teacher to tell you, oh, yes, or having another psychic say, oh, yes, but getting your own proof so you can learn to trust in yourself.
Well, that's a really good point, because I think a lot of people do go to outside help. They do go to psychics, to really have them tap into their angels. So you're saying that really with some journaling and just good old trust that you can actually access that yourself.
Right, but it is good to, you know, I am a psychic, so,
yes.
You know, it is good, because sometimes we get so caught up in our own forest that we can't see the trees. So it's always, you know, somebody that is tuned in, if you find a teacher or a guide or a psychic that is very tuned in, that you feel comfortable with, then having them help you, not just giving you the answers, but giving you the answers. But what the angels and I do in our readings is that we help teach you. We help not just give you the answers, but we help teach you to help you to find those answers within yourself and outside yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that the meaning outside yourself is finding the signs, paying attention to the signs we teach.
So you're more of a coach then, and a teacher, as opposed to just...
Right. I do help in, you know, if you want a reading and stuff, I will give you a reading. But we also do coaching. You know, that's why it's called, the angels had me use the words angelic counselor.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, we don't just give you, you know, say, well, this and this and this is going to happen. I will tell you, okay, this is what I'm hearing, this is what I'm seeing, and give you tools to help you, guide you on that as well.
That's fantastic. Do you work a lot with parents and children in that context?
Sometimes, yes. Mostly with parents, because the children, the thing is they already know.
Right. You're just getting the parents up to speed.
Right, right. Yes. So it's the parents that need to know how to, because I had parents that came to me and say, well, they're going to go, my child's going to go to school. What's going to happen? I'm really concerned, because they know their child is psychic.
Yeah.
They know their child is gifted. And so they're concerned of how the child is going to be around other people that don't accept this.
Well, I can understand that fear. What are your thoughts on how a parent can talk to their child and prepare them for going out in school or any kind of a social type of an environment?
Well, one thing is it's about the trust. It gets back to the trust. Trust that your child will know who to speak to and who not to. And the more you talk about it and teach them at home, and they know, children will know who to say something to and who not to. They may say something to somebody that doesn't believe just for that person's benefit.
Good point.
You know, because children don't have much fear as adults. I was in a gym one time working out, talking to a friend, and all of a sudden a man that I'd never met came up to me, and he stood in front of me, and he goes, I'm sorry. He says, but I just was told that I needed to come over to you and tell you to have courage. He goes, I don't know what that means. He goes, I just had this feeling and this heard this word that I need to come tell you to have courage. And I thanked him and stuff, and he walked away. And my friend and I stood there and going, wow. For one, it took a lot of courage for that man to come up to a stranger and tell that, give me a message.
Mm-hmm.
And but children will say things where they just blurt it out. But for his parents, they should just trust, and the more you teach your children at home and let them be safe and be able to be open with them, then they're going to know what to do. And a lot of children now that have been born the last decade are not closing their gifts down.
No, that's true. Are you referring to the indigo children?
Not just the indigo. There's lots of children out there, even children that are labeled as ADD. One of the things is that these children are fighting with the system, and they're not closing all of their gifts down. They're still intuitive. They're so intuitive, they don't know how to handle things.
Obviously, we don't know how to handle them, or at least the establishment doesn't know how to handle them.
Absolutely, absolutely. And so the more the parents learn how to take care of and help their guide their child, the more their child is going to be able to go out into the world and fulfill the mission that they came here to do.
Well, there is a critical need, because the mission, from what I understand, with these new kids coming in is great. I mean, we need some massive change on our planet. So,
well, what's happening?
Yeah. So, is there anything for children or parents to be afraid of when it comes to accessing psychic gifts and talking to imaginary friends?
No, there isn't. As long as you see that your child is being safe and everything is positive. One thing with angels, I've been around a lot of spiritual and psychic people, and one of the things with angels is they are here to help you. Your spirit guides and your angels are here to help you, only you. They will help you. And the thing is they, if they are telling you to go do something for them, then you may question, who's really talking to my child? Or who am I really hearing? So pay attention, because they are here to help you. And if they're telling you to go out and do something that they want you to do, that's a different story. Then you need to question that, because they are here to help make your life better, help you sharpen your own skills, help you to live a better and healthier life.
And so I guess anything that would make a child or a parent feel afraid, that it was kind of strange, that did not feel good, then that would obviously be a good indication as well.
Right. And, you know, I think afraid is kind of a little bit of a harsh word, because there's really nothing to be afraid of, because they cannot hurt you. And the more you take that fear away, the less that it gives that power to that.
Interesting.
So there's absolutely nothing that they can hurt you with.
Well, that's good to know. That may encourage more people to explore, because I think that there is that fear there, and a lot of
Television promotes that.
Yeah.
And I'm not putting television down, but things promote that.
Isn't it true, what we're seeing on TV right now and the scary stuff that's really around psychic topics?
Mm-hmm. That's because there's not an understanding. Once you understand it, there's nothing to be afraid of. In the spiritual world, I am very powerful and not afraid of any of them. And, you know, I may get some lower spirits that might be around that, you know, didn't move forward.
Mm-hmm.
And I just call in Archangel Michael and say, okay. And basically these other spirits are really wanting love. They just want love. But you don't have to deal with that. If that, you know, you can just call in Archangel Michael and say, remove the spirit from me now. Or just tell them, you know what, you're not welcome here, go away.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
Mm-hmm.
No, isn't absolute. And the less fear you show, they may play little games with you, but they can't hurt you.
That's so interesting that you're that in touch that you could really sense that they'd be playing games.
Yeah, oh, that, yeah. Well, even, you know, I'm a medium, and even deceased loved ones, when a deceased loved one knows it, that you can hear, oh, my God, it's like they come out of the woodwork. And sometimes they can want you to say something to, you know, a loved one of theirs, and it might not be appropriate at the right timing or something. And so sometimes I'll tell Archangel Michael, remove them from me now, or take them, you must stand back away from me now.
And they do?
Oh, absolutely.
Because
this is my life. They have
yeah.
no, the thing is, you don't give your power away to people on the, you know, humans, and you don't give your power away to anyone else on the spiritual realm as well.
Isn't that interesting? What about unconscious? You know, the whole way that we can give up our power unconsciously. And so how can we protect ourselves from those parts of us that we may not even know that can attract?
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things, people are giving their power away every single moment of every day. And they don't even realize it. And one of the greatest ways that they're doing it is when they obsess about something or a person. They may not see this person, and this person may be completely physically out of their life, but the more they obsess about it in their mental thinking and their speaking and their complaining, they are giving their power away to this person.
Isn't that? That is very interesting. Obsession.
Obsession, yes, you're not standing in your authentic power. You're allowing this person, even though they are totally out of your life, you're allowing this person, you're giving your power to this person. And this person may not even be wanting it, but you're giving it away.
You're totally oblivious, but here you are giving it away.
And we'll be back with more Inside Scoop Live after these important announcements.
Inside Scoop Live is a global internet-based broadcast specializing in interviewing published authors about their current books and areas of expertise. I'm Juanita Watson, the host of the show, and invite you to join me as I bring to the air both well-known and upcoming writers. You will hear my guests talk candidly about their books, their life experience, specific topics, and the business of being an author in today's literary world. Always interesting and current, my intention is to bring our audience high-quality discussions that spotlight a vast diversity of authors in the field today. Our interviews are syndicated and archived for availability 24/7 through direct podcast and MP3 download. And as always, I love to hear from listeners. Have a look at our website, InsideScoopLive.com. Send me an email, comment on previous guests, and let me know who you'd like to hear on the show. I'll do my best to bring you your favorite authors live and direct. Welcome back to Inside Scoop Live. I'm talking today with Carol Guy. Her new book, Jamie and the Angel, Meeting Her Guardian Angel, is on shelves now, and you can find out more at carolguy.com or jamieandtheangel.com. Well, what about, if we're talking about obsession, what about, you know, not just a person, but obsessing about money or health?
Absolutely. Poor money. You know, I feel sorry for money. I am so grateful that I'm not a piece of money.
Yeah.
Because it gets blamed for everything.
Right, piece of paper.
It gets blamed for the economy. It gets blamed for all the number one divorce rate. You know, it gets blamed for everything, but it's not money. It's our communication and things like this. So if you learn to communicate and learn to, but I think the most number one thing for any of this is learn to be honest with yourself about stuff.
Hmm. What does that mean exactly?
Well, when you're honest, when you're having these feelings about a situation and you're blaming money, look at yourself and say, okay, what is it really going on with me? Why am I doing this? And, you know, and be honest with how you're truly feeling about something.
And look for what's underneath it.
Yes, absolutely.
I guess any time we are blaming something outside of ourselves, we really need to look within.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But as a lot of we call light workers, a lot of light workers will also take responsibility of that too much as well. So there's a, you know, you gotta really look and see what is your stuff and what is not yours. And
it's
that's another, you know, this is another thing of being honest with yourself. Well, this really isn't my stuff. So I, and with a lot of light workers out there, they tend to take on everybody's stuff, and that is actually taking the power away, and you really need to look at yourself of why you are enabling someone.
That's a really good point, too. So that's incredible. So do you think that the kids that are coming up now are considered light workers?
Absolutely, yes. Yes, they are. And they may not have titles of indigo or rainbow children or crystal children, but they're still light workers. They're doing something that is helping to bring more light and love to this world. And we learn to pay attention to the children because they are so in tune, much more than the rest of us.
Yes. Is there a certain struggle that is common with the kids these days?
I think what it is they get to the point where as we look at them as children. And so the thing is, and they're trying to communicate with us, but we don't look at them on our level. So they get frustrated, and that's where a lot of kids will act out. They will, you know, my granddaughter was wonderful about this. I would stand back and watch her as she would try to be trying to express herself, but not getting the point across, and so she would throw a fit.
They get frustrated.
Yeah, they get frustrated, and so they're trying to get our attention, and we're not paying enough attention to it. So, and they will continue, and they will do whatever it takes to get our attention. I always say the angels and God gives us either a feather or a 2x4.
Yeah.
And most of the time we take the 2x4.
Yeah, unfortunately, right?
Yeah.
So is this going to be now a strong part of your message going into the future is working with children?
Absolutely, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, working with the children. When you go into the bookstores or a metaphysical store or something, you'll see all these books for adults, all
yes.
these self-help, all these
yeah.
these spiritual books. There is a handful for children. More and more have been coming up, but there's still only a handful for children.
Yeah, it's very true. And really, I mean, the book that you put out, Jamie and the Angel, so this is actually, you have a large age range for your target audience for this book.
You know, it ended up being that way. I
yeah.
really intended it to be for younger kids so they would feel more at home and feel that they had something for them too. But I've had adults that said, wow, this could be for any age. This is not just for kids. This is, you know, this can help target the inner child. And
yeah.
many adults that grew up as gifted and couldn't speak about things and didn't have anyone to help them, they were relating to it as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I had that experience reading the book, so that's interesting that you're saying that. I think it really has a mass appeal. So is this Guardian Angel on the cover? Is that your Guardian Angel? How close is this story to your personal story?
Well, the name Jamie is named after my daughter.
Okay.
Okay. I was married to a military man, so my daughter was raised for a military family.
Mm-hmm.
The guardian angel, yes, is actually Archangel Gabriel that's guided me. And being 7 years old was more about me. Being gifted was about me. So it was a lot about me, and it was a lot about I used different areas of my life that it just happened to come out that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, and you know, having an older brother, I had an older brother, and so there's a lot of similarities of different things. It's not truly how it exactly happened, but it has a lot of similarities and pieces of my life in it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So how are you hoping that parents utilize this book with their children?
Well, read it to them and let them and talk to them about it and ask them questions of, well, do you see angels? Or, you know, do you ever have imaginary friends? And what do they say to you? Do they talk to you? Do you know their names? Things like this. And in journal, write down what their children tell them.
You have a great excerpt at the end of the book that talks about different guidelines for parents, and you go into journaling and even get the parents to start journaling.
Right. Mm-hmm. Because that's what it's really about. Because even as parents, you can still open up your own intuitive skills and sharpen them.
And so this actually can be used with parents that may not be suspecting or have been sort of tuned into their kids that they may have psychic abilities. But you could bring this book to any child to encourage them to just strengthen their gifts. Because as you say, we're all born with gifts.
We are. Mm-hmm. We are. Everyone came here with their own gifts. And and it's just really learning to have an understanding about them and then sharpening those gifts and then using them the best way that's going to be there for their guidance of their journey.
Well, clearly this book needs to be in every household then.
I would love that.
That would be wonderful. Oh, so how was the whole process of getting the book published? I know that we had talked briefly earlier, and you mentioned that you actually wrote this book back in 2002.
I did. I wrote this, and I have – this is about – this book here, Jamie and the Angel, Meeting Your Guardian Angel, is the first book, and it's about clairvoyant, being clear seen, being able to see clearly. I wrote this back in 2002. I also wrote three other books that go along with it, with the other four clairs that we had spoke about earlier.
Okay.
And so those are still waiting. But this book just came out. Publishing, you know, I tried to get it published back in 2002, 2003. And, you know, I got all the rejection letters.
Mm, of course.
You know, there's not many publishing companies out there that will do this kind of publishing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I just kind of let it go. I had to let it go and just let it sit for a while until now Millennium and all the different talks and things, you know, we got psychic shows and medium shows on television. And
mm-hmm.
So the word's getting out more about being able to speak about it openly. And so a while back this summer, a lady had told me about a publishing company, which is Loving Healing Press. And she said, contact them. And so I did. And my publisher accepted it. And then we got it illustrated. We worked on that. And that was really beautiful to work with, to see it come to life.
Mm. And the illustrations are beautiful.
Oh, they turned out really pretty beautiful. I really loved them.
Yeah, mm-hmm. They complement the story really well.
She did a wonderful job, yeah.
Yeah. So do you know you have a timeline for when the next one will be coming out?
Not yet. Hopefully, you know, hopefully by early part of next year would be great.
What about your story, your personal story? Will you put that in a biography?
Well, I already have. I've started that. I wrote Coming Out of the Spiritual Closet, Being an Earth Angel.
Mm-hmm.
That is the first book of my journey, and there's actually four more that's going with that one.
Really?
Yeah, because it's been quite a journey for the last decade or so. It's been nonstop, unbelievable, mind-blowing things that people really need to know about. But I share it in a story of my life because, we started the book Coming Out of the Spiritual Closet when I was first born and how I grew up and how I was the rebel and, you know, fighting with this gift my whole life. And there's been many people, men and women, that have read it, and there's been parts of the book that they've all been able to relate to themselves.
Mm-hmm.
that just came out 2007. And so then I'm just waiting for the rest of them to get out there as well.
You'll be publishing books for many, many years. You know, you just sort of piqued my interest a little bit in what are some of the big topics that you find people generally need to be more aware of and start really taking to heart that kind of is in the context of your mission and your message.
One of the things is learning to really pay attention to your environment, what's going on around you. Pay attention, because I see so many people that we're so busy with life, we don't see what's really in front of us. And there's things, and God and angels talk to you 24/7. And so really bringing up your awareness. Another one is I love animals. I also have a book that's not published out on the market yet on animals and how animals can help guide you as well. They're God's angels, too, and they are here to help guide us. And I have lots of animal stories.
Isn't that something? So, like, personal pets, that sort of thing?
Personal pets or even wild pets are, and they don't have to come into your life and on the physical as being alive. They could come to you as, you know, you keep seeing, like, mountain lion on television,
mm-hmm.
you know, or you'll constantly see statues of mountain lions. Well, then maybe you learn to pay attention to this, because really, you really don't want a live mountain lion to come to you.
Yeah.
But
right.
Learning to bring your awareness to this.
Yeah.
So, and find out what the message is that the mountain lion's trying to help guide you on. But learning to really pay attention to nature and your environment and, you know, and past lives, that, you know, a lot of people still don't believe in past lives. It never crossed my mind until all of this stuff started happening to me.
Is that right?
But how past lives can really be effective in your personal life right now.
Mm-hmm.
That you're not consciously aware of why.
Yeah.
And a lot of people get stuck in past lives, but the thing is, I use past lives for when I can't get past something, when there's something in my life that I just can't seem to overcome. Then I look at a past life to find out where my past life that this has rooted me into this lifetime.
And then through working with that past life, do you basically detach from the power of that?
Right, right. And most of the time, like with myself, when there's something I can't get past and I need or a person that's in my life that is just really difficult, I'll eventually do a past life. And I don't have to do a past life regression. I can just ask and it'll flash right in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
And I see it. And so once I have an understanding of the past life, then I can heal it and let go of it.
Yeah. I guess it is about bringing everything to awareness.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
That's so fascinating. What do you think about the fear that is just running so rampant right now? You know, people losing their jobs, the economy, I mean, the weather, the environment. There's so much out there for people to be distracted, lose
mm-hmm.
their focus, and just become so in fear. How detrimental is that for the progression that's going on right now, maybe more on a spiritual level? And how can we really stay protected from that fear?
Well, one thing is everybody kept asking for change. We want to change.
Yeah.
We want to change, and here it is. Here it is. This is actually a good thing. I associate all of this with, like, you got a closet in your house, and it's just a mess. Okay, it's a total mess, and that's what our economy, our lives have been. We've been running crazy for quite a few decades now, and our lives have become a mess. And so here's this closet full of mess. So what do you got to do? You got to pull it all out, and that's what's happening with all of this stuff right now too.
Mm-hmm.
It's getting pulled out, getting right in our faces.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're cleaning out a closet, you pull it all out. You're standing there looking at it, and it's all around you. And you're going, oh, great, why did I start this?
What a mess. Yeah.
What a mess. What did I start this for? That's what's been going, that's happening right now in our lives. So this is actually a good thing. So once you start tackling one little area of your life that needs it the most, and you start organizing that closet and start organizing your life, what happens in the end? you stand back and you're going, wow, doesn't like that feel so cool? And it makes you feel so good when that closet's organized.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that's what's happening in our life. And the best thing you can do, you know, a lot of people are lost their jobs. So now they weren't happy in the first place at that job.
Right.
And so anything that's happening right now, there's new energies that people have been talking about with this 2012 and, you know, the end of the world and all this. Well, that stuff has already been happening.
Yeah.
You know, we're just not consciously aware of it. And right now, your thoughts and your feelings, whatever you have not dealt with in your inner closet, is going to come to the first surface right now. Anything that you have not dealt with in your past, you've pushed it down in that inner closet, is coming to the surface. So if you did not like your job, guess what? You're going to deal with it now.
Yeah, you're going to lose
it. If you weren't happy with your relationship and your marriage and stuff is not working, guess what? It's going to come to your surface and then be right there in your face right now.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that's what's happening with everything. So this is actually a good thing. We're cleaning out. This is forcing us to clean out that inner closet, that inner self, deal with all these things so you can really create the life you really want.
And live more from your heart and authentically.
Absolutely. And get into that authentic power. You know, there's a difference from being powerful and overpowering somebody than being true authentic power. True authentic power is not harsh. It's loving. It's kind. And you stand grounded and firm within it.
Well, we have some ways to go, but it sounds like a beautiful vision for what we can be experiencing on this planet.
Well, it's happening. I think we're at that point where, you know, we may be rebelling, but it's happening whether you like it or not.
Yeah, so just to go with the flow.
So the best thing to do is go with the flow. Find ways that's going to help ground you, help keep you centered and focused. So when the bills are piling it up, that's where you got to really be honest with yourself. What can you do? And really focusing on your breath. Without your breath, you're not here, period.
Yeah.
There won't be any bills paid or anything.
That's true.
So your connection to your divine source is your breath. So focus on your breath. Get out and experience nature. Nature is free. You just walk outside and it's free. It's right there. These are God's given gifts to us, too, to help us. The sunshine's here to help heal you, you know. When the wind comes, that's to help blow that negative energy off of you.
So get out there in it.
Get out there in it, even if, you know, with the weather, winter's approaching and stuff, and a lot of places have really harsh winters.
Yeah.
But get out there for 5 minutes. If you need to change the energy within yourself, go outside, bundle up, go outside for 5 minutes and breathe in that freshness. Allow nature to wash away the negative energy and let it dispose of it properly.
Good point. And the sun is very, very healing to negative energy as well. And so we can't be afraid of it.
Right. Mm-hmm. You know, if you got grass and it's warm enough, take your shoes off and bury your feet in the grass and ground yourself in that earth. Mm-hmm. You know, these are God's healing tools that are free and are right there for you.
Remember what it was like to be a child, I guess.
Absolutely. You know, that whenever I was learning all of this and my angels were teaching me, you know, I was going through some difficult times and I'm like, I would get up and I'd say, well, what should I do today? And they're like, play. Yay. And I'm like, play? I got to work. I got to pay bills. I got to do this. What do you mean play? And so next thing I know, I'd be at the park and I'd be swinging and stuff, you know. And I remember a gentleman came up to me one day and he said, wow, you're the happiest person in this whole entire park. And the park was full with people. Mm. And I was like, if he only knew what I'm going through. But I was happy, you know, because that's get back to your child play, real, really innocent child play, you know. Go outside, play tag, hide and seek, you know, swing at the park, you know, roll in the grass. Get back to that innocent child play.
Mm. Absolutely. Carol, there is so much we can talk about today.
We've covered quite a bit, too.
We really have. I love it. And I love the message that you're bringing to kids and parents. I mean, this is, like you said earlier, there's very little on shelves today for parents in this topic. And I just can't wait for you to come up with your other books. It sounds like there's going to be four in this series of Amazing.
Well, I've got 8 children's books just waiting to
8.
To get out there. Yeah.
Oh, dear.
The last few years, that's all I've been doing is writing. Writing, writing, writing. So now it's time to get them all out.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like you have a great publisher. So I know that we will be talking again because this was such an enjoyable conversation that
I think we
have to do it again. So I just wish you all the best. And let's mention your website again. It's carolguy.com and also jamieandtheangel.com. So we do have to kind of close our program, but was there any final thoughts that you wanted to share with our audience today?
You know, I wanted to thank you and your listeners for allowing me to be here because that's an honor right there. And, you know, one of the greatest things is be gentle with yourself and honor yourself, and that way you honor others and everything around you. And the more you can be gentle with yourself and learn self-love, that's what's going to really open your heart and give you the guidance that you need as well.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Carol.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure. You take care.
Thanks.
All right, listeners, that's been Carol Guy. Her new children's book, Jamie and the Angel, Meeting Her Guardian Angel, is out on shelves now. And as mentioned, Carol's website is carolguy.com, and her book website is jamieandtheangel.com. So do go to both of those websites. Carol does a lot more than just write books, so I think you'd be very fascinated to find out about some of the other work that she's doing aside from what we talked about today. So I want to thank you again for tuning into the program, Inside Scoop Live. I'm Juanita Watson, and until next time.